Hello everyone, I hope you are keeping well. Welcome to another episode of the Middle Age Gaming Podcast, the number one show where we talk about games, gaming philosophy, predictions, and pretty much everything under the sun. Your hosts are Adam, Crean, Antoine, and Phil. Pretty much whoever can be there for the show because, as you know, Middle Age gamers are busy. We have family, commitments, work, and so many other things. Enough said, let's get on with the show.
Hello, Middle Age gamers, and yes, for once I do the introduction because, as you can see, Crean and Eric and Phil, none of them are here. So yeah, you will get a little flashback of how it was in summer 2021 with just Adam and myself. So what that means is we're going to talk about stuff and, you know, we're never going to follow the rail. So you know how it works. Quickly, I'm going to do the house cleaning right away because I don't like to do it at the end. So you can follow our podcast live 9 because we're always late on Twitch, Facebook, and YouTube, of course, at 9 p.m. EST in North America and 9 a.m. in Taiwan or China if you're over there. All right. That is done. We had a very busy weekend with Summer Game Festival and all the non-E3 conference, like Adam liked to call it. And we're going to talk about this in the second part of the show. As usual, we're going to start the show with what we played this week. Adam, what did you play this week? Did you stream a bit? I think you did.
I did. I was supposed to have a meeting in the morning, but then the guy just recently came back and he was on his last 2 days of, we call it quarantine. So we ended up having to cancel the meeting. So then I was able to stream. So I streamed Horizon Forbidden West and I finished that yesterday. And not
already
on stream. Yeah, the second time, like I said, it goes way faster just because you already have all your gear. Even though it's on ultra hard, it goes way faster just because A, I wasn't doing any of the side quests. I was just running straight through the main quest, and then also just because I have all my gear from the first game already up, so even though I don't necessarily do as much damage because it's on ultra hard, I can still do a lot more proc, so I can cause corrosion or whatever much faster. So because of that, it does go much faster. So I finished that yesterday, and I was a little bit disappointed just because there are three trophies that came with the update, and the three trophies are beat New Game Plus, beat it on Ultra Hard, and collect all the new gear that comes with New Game Plus. And so what I was thinking is, okay, I'm going to beat it on Ultra Hard, and then I'm going to just switch the difficulty to something low and then just grind out the gear really quickly. So I wasn't really focusing on that. And then it turns out that because once you start an Ultra Hard game, you can't change the difficulty like you can on other difficulties. So I thought, oh, okay, they're just saving that for the end of the game. So once you finish the game, then you can change the difficulty, and nope, you cannot. So I'm like, oh no, if I wanted to do this quickly, the fast way to do it would be to actually start a new game plus. And then, yeah, and I'm just like, oh no, that just takes forever. So I'm kind of putting that on hold for a while. Maybe when a DLC comes out, I'll grind through that real quick. But until then, I think I'm going to give it a rest. But I was happy because the things that carry over, you carry over all your gear and you carry over all the items that you've acquired, you carry over all your experience and all that. And you do lose your hacks though. So you can't hack the machines anymore, with the exception of the last one that you unlock in the main game. So that one is a mount, and it is a very special mount, and that one is unlocked. So that's the only thing you keep as far as unlocking machines, which is weird because you don't keep your unlocks of all the mount of the ground mounts. But that made it go way faster once I realized that. Yeah, I was avoiding the areas where those were, and I was like, okay, I'm not gonna go there because it's a waste of my time because I don't have my hacks. And then on a whim, I was walking around and I saw it just showed up on the little bar at the top, and I was like, it's close. There's no way this is gonna work, but I'm gonna try it just for fun. And it totally worked, and I was like, I wasted so much time running around. I could have just zipping around the map.
So let me get it straight. So if you restart your game, you can fly from the start of the game.
If you don't start with a Sunwing, but you have to, so you do have to find one and hack it. But the moment you find one, you can hack it, and you can fly right from the beginning of the game.
That would make it much faster.
It makes it so much faster just because, yeah, you don't have to worry about the traversal and all that. So that definitely was another reason why it went so quickly. It was once I figured that out, it was just kind of like, oh, I have a quest to go over there. All right, I'll just fly. So
yeah.
Yeah.
The arena for me in normal mode was already quite a pain, especially the end. So I can't even imagine it in ultra hard. Do you have to do this in ultra hard to get all the gear?
No, you don't. Just to get all the gear, you just have to do New Game Plus. So okay, yeah, as soon as you go into New Game Plus, all the gear's there. Ultra hard's just for the trophy. I just wanted to see how it was, and it was basically the same, but the things that kind of got me were the machines do about the same amount of damage that they do in hard, so that's not a big deal. However, they can take a lot more damage, so it just takes a really long time where I was basically every fight that I had, I would run out of ammo and have to craft ammo two or three times just because I don't have enough to get through the fight. So the resource management was a bit much bigger deal. And in the main game, I was constantly using my precision arrows, whereas in this game, I was definitely saving all my big stuff for boss fights and really big machines, because the smaller ones, it was just, yeah, otherwise you were just running around struggling to keep the materials that you needed to be able to create the better stuff, just because it takes so long to take those machines down. Whereas the smaller ones, you can still do that, the stealth kill if you sneak up on them. And so I was doing that with the smaller ones. So that made it, yeah. And then the only other thing that I didn't like was stealth is almost completely worthless. Yeah. And the original one thing I noticed was that when I was playing in hard mode, or very hard, I don't remember, whatever it was, if I hit a machine, it goes into the yellow kind of alert mode where it's, oh, something's going on, but I'm not sure what. And from there, then you can just wait for it to calm down, or you could get a second stealth hit before it figures out what's going on. But in hard mode, or in ultra hard, you hit it, it knows exactly where you are. And it is, and they are, so it's just stealth, you get one shot and it's not going to kill it because they have more life. So stealth was out the window, which was disappointing to me, but because I always play stealth. So
it is a big part of the game, and you want to have different type of flavor of gameplay. So if you can't use stealth, that removes
not reliably. Yeah, not reliably. You can use it, but the way you'd have to use it is you'd have to, it's just way slower because you just have to hit them, go hide, wait for them to calm down, and it just takes really long for that to for that whole process because they're more alert now. So stealth is not as viable. But if you were doing the machine hacking build where you use the one armor that makes it so that your hacking level is level 4, that's still very viable. So that was how I did most of the game, was by doing that, just hacking. I just ended up hacking one of the raptors. And I would just get to somewhere and I would just summon it, and I'd be like, okay, I'm just going to sit back and let you handle it. And that was actually very viable strategy.
Oh, okay. That's cool.
Yeah. Yeah. It was still fun, but I not sure I liked the difficulty on it. So I was like, okay, once I'm done, I'm going to turn it down. And then you can't. And I'm like, oh, so I stopped.
Okay. I can't remember what mark you gave to this game, but would you change it after playing the New Game Plus?
No. Because it's optional. You don't have to play it on ultra hard.
Of course, yeah. But yeah, but replayability is also a bonus point for the game.
Is good. But you don't have to play it on ultra hard when you replay it either. That's entirely optional. It's not, if you're a completionist, you need to do it. And I would definitely recommend, what I would do is I would probably have played, because if you want to, you could try to unlock everything on ultra hard. But honestly, what I would probably do is, I don't know, either just suck it up or play it on easy, blaze through it, upgrade everything. Or what I would do is maybe start on a New Game Plus, look at all the gear, make a save, grab the first piece of gear, write down a list of everything you need to upgrade it, load your save, use those same tokens that you used to buy the first piece of gear to buy a second piece of gear, write down all the things you need for the full upgrades of that, and then get a list of all the upgrades you're going to need. And then on your original save, put that on very easy, farm all the materials you're going to need real quick, and then go into New Game Plus on Ultra Hard. And that's probably what I would have done if I had known that I couldn't change the difficulty after the fact. That's how I would have done it. But yeah, it's still fun, and it's not too bad, especially if you're, like I said, I saved all my big stuff, the explosive spears and all that, for the big monsters, for the big boss fights, for all the things that were at the end of the cauldrons, and basically saved everything for that. And those fights were some of the easiest fights, actually. So, yeah.
All right. Okay, my turn.
Yeah, your turn.
I do not stream, but I restarted playing Tales of Arise after finishing Sniper 5. And okay, when I stopped Tales of Arise, I finished the first part of the game, which was freeing the 5 region with all the boss, which was very dynamic. There was a good balance of fight with story. The story was pretty simple at this point. It's free yourself from the Lord and from your conquerors. Pretty, it's a basic story, easy. And so you finish this and they tell you everything we told you from the beginning was a lie, which is fun. I like a good twist. The only issue is it came with about 4 to 5 hours plot dumping. And I'm not kidding. For 4 or 5 hours, it's nearly just cinematic. You have about 20 minutes of fight, another 10 minutes of boss fight. So for 4 or 5 hours, you only have half an hour of actually playing between the plot, your mandatory, the storytelling, and the quest, because you need quest to make money, because money is rare in this game. So to make money and to get SPs, you need to do the side quest. And your side quests are talk to your team, and talk to your team, and talk to the citizens of this space station. Talking. I love lore. You know me, I love story. Even for me at the end, I was like, no, stop the skits. No more. It was... very long. For this, I think I left the first part at a good 17 out of 20. For this, I removed 1 point because I'm sure there was a way to dilute it or remove some part. Okay, it's a bit more complicated than the basic plots that you had in the first part. It's not that complex. We're not completely stupid. We understand. It's okay. And you can dilute it along the game. So for this, I remove a point. But after you are past this terrible part, because it's very slow, and anyway, after this, it's way more balanced. You start with, you grind, really. You have a lot of side quests, which is killing the massive monsters, where you can have a lot of strategic fight, and it's extremely fun. So the part I am right now, and I'm just before the boss, the final boss of the game, you have a very cool part. So first part great, third part great. Part 1.5, 2, that's not so good. Another part that really is, and I will confirm that next week, but I complained a lot about replayability in the past Tales of. I didn't like the fact that you have to earn points and buy the, what do I want on my next game plus? Do I want to keep the object? Do I want to have extra experience? Do I want extra? Here, they did something much more clever. If it's what I think, it's fantastic. If it's not, I'll be very disappointed. When you beat the optional boss, you get what you call an artifact, which is actually some little tokens from previous game. I don't even from Pac-Man or from Dig Dug or whatever, lots of little artifacts. And these artifacts are what you're going to carry on in this game. So it's by defeating this side boss that you carry, I don't know, like experience, money, objects, recipes, all of this. So it's really up to you. What do you want to do? A new game plus with all your levels, all your weapons, everything? General boss. So it's really your dedication and your skills which will make your new game plus easier. And I find this fantastic because you decide how to start your new game plus. And I found this a really cool recipe. Let's hope that it's how it works and not like you've unlocked this but you still have to buy it with points. That would piss me off and I would not do the new game plus. But if it's what I said, just collect the artifact by killing the side boss and then you can restart your new game plus and like Horizon, you're gonna fly through because I'm not gonna do all the cutscenes definitely. Like Persona 5, when you restart, you cut all the cutscenes, you are left with 10 hours of game max. Again, I started, when I finished the first part, I was at 17. I removed 1 point for part 2. I add 1 point for part 3. And I may add another point for the replayability. So I may finish with a good 18. And if replayability is not what I think, I'm going to remove 5 points. Just because I'm going to be pissed. And that's how it is. So honestly, Tales of Arise is a very good surprise because Tales of tends to be good games, but very repetitive. You play one, you play kind of them all. For the next Tales of, people, I love your combat system. It's really good. Just there's something that you need that all the combat game like Street Fighter do is cancel your move. When you start a skill, you click B or cancel so that you in mid skill, you stop, you cancel your move so you can back off. You can't do that. So when you start a heavy attack, you're in all the way and you can't stop it. So that means you get beaten up by a big boss very quick. There's no, you can't re-stagger them. They can stagger you, you can stagger them. So if you can't cancel your big attack and you start your attack, you're like, oh, damn it. I shouldn't have done that. Cancel, cancel, move, roll away. You can't. Add this, that would make the combat way more dynamic. Not like Dark Souls, not that dynamic, but that would be great. So that's my expose, I would say, on Tales of Arise. I'll tell you next week because I'm sure I'm going to be finished by next week. And honestly, very good game. I knew it would be good. I didn't knew it would be that good because Berseria was already very good. And I was just disappointed by the replayability. Here, maybe just tone down on the storytelling. It's good story. We like it. Easy a bit. Easy there. And that would be a very great game. Okay. So now that we are done with that part, we are going to start talking about the second part of the show, which will be based on what we had this weekend. So what did we have this weekend? To start off, we had the Game Fest Summer Festival. So if you didn't see it, I'm going to resume very quickly. Do you like space? Do you like horror? Dead Space, you had, it was a lot of Fort Project Callisto or Callisto something. Callisto Protocol. It was a lot of Dead Space and horror. If you don't like space and horror, you can not watch it because there was honestly not much apart from there's a Street Fighter character reveal. Guile. Yes, we know that Guile would be in there, like Chun-Li and Ryu, of course. So always happy to have a Street Fighter. Yay! But that's not a character reveal. That's just to introduce the fact that's SF, what, 7? I think six. Already now? 6?
I think 6.
Okay, SF will become soon. Anyway, it was nice-ish, but to be honest, a bit boorish. A bit boring, because there was a lot of a sequel, but there was no really new IPs, apart from individual studio, which made, but that's indie games. So it will be nice, but it's not a AAA that's going to keep you for weeks and a week. All in all, so-so. After you had smaller conference like Tribeca, which were honestly boring. Really boring. I didn't see the State of Play, which apparently was really great. I'm gonna watch that definitely, a replay of it this week. After that, you had the PC Gaming Show, which wasn't good. It was not very good, and it was not very good on the same value, I would say, as the Summer Game Festival, except that the comic duo, I would say, was very cringy. People, that's not fun. That's really cringy. Like, we're like, okay, I understand. When a guy try to make a joke and then explain the joke. No. Maybe you do that for a younger audience. I don't know. But I was watching this. I was like, go to the trailer. Skip up talking. Most of the weekend was disappointing. But what I watched after and I was extremely happy with was the Xbox Bethesda Blizzard, you can call, because it was a lot of Blizzard. This conference was fantastic, and I really encourage you to watch it. And after this, I'm telling you right away that you're gonna buy the Game Pass. So before diving more into it, we were supposed to have Krian and Eric with us. Krian wanted to talk about Flashback.
No, Krian wanted to talk about Humankind.
Humankind, sorry. Okay, then let's talk about Humankind. Humankind. Do you want to go on it, or do you
know a bit of Humankind? I don't. Yeah, I've never played a Humankind game. Is this the first one? Is there only one, or is it a series?
Yes, no, that's the first one, which was launched on PC last year.
Okay,
it's not. It's brand. It's really new. So I believe it was in 2021. Correct me if I'm wrong, but yeah, it's. It's. I'll let you introduce it. It's very straightforward, as you can see on the picture.
Yeah, so it's in the same vein as a Civ game. You play as human civilization throughout the ages. I think you start from basically just the Stone Age and then progress all the way up through the Modern Age. And the reveal that they had was for they're adding some Latin American to the game.
There was Argentina, yeah, definitely.
Yeah, yeah, the Argentina, I think, was the Modern Age that they showed. And then they had a bunch of ones from like Medieval Age and Stone Age and all that. So basically, yeah, it wasn't advertising a new game, but it was advertising this new addition, this new add-on for these new cultures. So yeah, I've never played it before, and so I'm not quite sure what's different between this and Civ, but I think they are pretty similar where you're progressing through time. But this one also seems to go into the future, because in the video they were showing like space stuff and people landing on the moon in a different trailer, so...
Oh, possibly. To be honest, I saw it on my favorite YouTubers streaming it. Basically, what's the difference? It looks alike, definitely, but the mechanic is different. The mechanic for your army is capturing and expanding is quite different from Civilization. It's very different, in fact. So, yeah, again, that's part of the thing which I found a bit disappointing in the conference is that it's not a new game, of course, but it's not really either. It's not an expansion. Just adding DLC Civilization. What they really wanted to advertise, I believe, was the fact that it will be console launch. Before it was only PC, now it's console, it's coming on console. I believe this would be a bigger announcement than the fact that they are adding Argentina and stuff like this. If you played Civilization, I'm sure that you have spent a lot of $6 or $7 to add things like this. It's only Civilization, so I don't think there's any scenarios coming with it. Again, I haven't played Humankind, but I have a lot of friends which are Civilization fans. And playing Humankind, you would say maybe it's exactly the same game, so they would be bored of it very fast, but they all came back saying no. It's a very good game. Even if you play Civ, you won't be bored with it, especially if you play multiplayer. But no, it's a safe reference. You can really go out and play this game. And Humankind, is it or is it not including in the Game Pass?
Everything in the Bethesda show that I saw was included on Game Pass. So this was before I saw it, because I came in on like maybe the back half or so. So this was in the first half. So I didn't see this announcement there, but everything that I saw was included in Game Pass.
Okay. So just to remind you people that Xbox and Microsoft in their targeting the world and they're gonna eat it all. Xbox Live, for me on PC, I don't have an Xbox, but for PC and of course for games, for console, is $1 per month for 3 months. $1 per month for 3 months. Everything you just heard, Adam, everything on the game show, on the game show, is available on Game Pass. Of course,
day
not
one.
Everything for me, day one.
A lot of them, I don't know. I just kept noticing that it says, Game Pass, day one. Game Pass, day one. Game on so many of those trailers.
A few of them were console exclusive. So even if it's in Game Pass, you as a PC gamer won't have access to them. But still, okay, let's continue because this was Humankind, which was part of the Bethesda game show. Are we sure of this? Yes.
Yeah, I guess I wasn't really paying attention. Because I thought this was part of the Summerfest, because I thought you were the only person that had picked something from the Bethesda show.
Ah, okay. Let me quickly check. So when I check... You want to start with Flashback?
Yeah, so we're going over Korean and we're going over the other two games first. So that way, we don't know too much about these because these were the other picks. But yeah, so Flashback, I have not played the original Flashback. I'm aware of it just because I remember that actually it was either PS3 or PS4. It kept showing up on sale. And so I kept seeing it and I know people had talked about it and I guess it was an early platformer kind of thing.
Yeah,
so it's kind of like Prince of Persia, like a more sci-fi-ish Prince of Persia kind of thing, basically. So that's kind of my understanding of it. I'm not super familiar with it, but yeah, they announced Flashback 2, but as Antoine pointed out, it's not actually Flashback 2. That's a lie.
Liars!
Yeah, so do you want to explain that? How that works?
Okay, so same as Adam, played this game 30 years ago. So apart from how it looked, I just completely forgot the plot and everything. But yeah, 1995, Flashback 2, Fade to Black, it already exists, people. So I don't know if they are retconning Flashback 2 with a new one, or they just simply made a mistake and forgot that, yes, there was already a Flashback 2 happening. There should be a Flashback 3. So again, I don't know the story. I can't remember the story, to be honest. So maybe tell us in the comment, is this really Flashback 2 remade and the 1995 one is retcon? Goodbye. We forget about it. Possibly. I've watched Ghostbusters Afterlife recently, and it clearly retconned the one with the ladies in 2016 which was a very good thing. So maybe it's something like this. I don't know. Please tell us from, again, Facebook, Twitch, YouTube, TikTok, ColecoVision. Not that last one. But just tell us, because I don't know if it's an honest mistake, in which case they should really know, check Wikipedia before they name a game. That's all there is really to say about Flashback.
Yeah, the only thing I can think is maybe what happened was, because it was just Flash, was it called Flashback 2 Fade to Black, or was it just called Flashback Fade to Black?
No, Flashback 2 Fade to Black.
Oh, okay, because I was like, if it was maybe just named Flashback Fade to Black, maybe what it was is, or maybe what it was that they were saying, oh, this is a continuation of the first one, whereas this one's a full-on sequel. Mm-hmm. But if it was called Flashback 2 Fade to Black, I don't know, unless this is Flashback 2 Fade to Black and it's just an updated version of it. That's a possibility as well, because they didn't show
too much.
Yeah, the way they did the video, I have the trailer here, but we were trying to avoid getting flagged again, which I will show one trailer today, because for, and I'll explain why later. But when they showed the video, it's basically, you see a bunch of, was it blocks or buildings or something like that? And there's projections of the game on the walls, basically. So you never get like a full on straight shot of gameplay. So because of that, it was hard to tell. But also, yeah, just looking at the environments look almost identical. It's just updated. So yeah, I don't know. Maybe this is a remake.
I don't know. But that's also one of the things of this weekend. Apart from the Xbox Bethesda, lots of trailers.
Lots of remakes.
Not a lot of gameplay.
That's true.
And you can really feel the COVID effect on the fact that there's a lot of games which are already delayed and are still getting delayed. And now there's no, if you buy the Game Pass, I think October will really reward your wallet. November, all the September, October, November, there's plenty of games which are due to be released this fall, winter. So that would be a good time to invest your dollar.
That's actually one of the complaints I saw about the Bethesda showcase, though, was that everything on the show is meant to be released in the next year. And people love that.
Yes.
They're like, everything is supposed to be released in the next 12 months. But most of the announcements did not have official dates yet. And so people are like, so it's in the next 12 months, but does that mean... But most people are assuming that most of these games are actually 2023, not 2022. And the fact that they weren't showing dates, a lot of people were worried that, okay, these are intended dates. With the way delays have been going on for the last few years, how many of these games will actually be out in the next year? It's hard to say, because a lot of them do not have hard dates. It's just in the next 12 months.
Which included Starfield.
Yeah, but Starfield, I think we're pretty much guaranteed. I think Starfield will release in the next 12 months, I think.
I don't know. In there, before they say early 2023, and now at the Bethesda game show, they just say 2023. That's it. They announced Fallout 76 and the DLC. They don't want to kill the poor guy. Huh?
No, but I've heard Fallout 76 is pretty good now. I've heard it's done a No Man's Sky kind of thing where it's redeemed itself. And now a lot of people are playing it like it. But to be fair, too, the people that are still playing it are the people that stuck around who are probably going to like it anyway. I don't know how many new people they're pulling in these days and how many people are returned, but from what I've heard, it's discussed pretty positively online now.
Yeah, but just to remind you, at least in France, it was sold the console magazines. It was sold in a $5 console magazine with it. That you had your free disc of Fallout 76. It went that bad, that down. You can't come back from that. You have reputation. Your reputation is done by that. Okay. Anyway,
They've had some new DLC though. So they have an alien DLC plenty. Out, and they have a Brotherhood of Steel, and now they've added NPCs. So there's a proper narrative to
Appalachian
it.
Something. Yeah.
Yeah, I have the game. And I got it, for the same reason I got No Man's Sky, where it was one of those things where I was like, okay, when I got No Man's Sky, I was like, I don't think this is going to remotely live up to my expectations, but I see the potential there. So I see this as being a Minecraft situation where it starts off small and then becomes something much bigger. And No Man's Sky's never reached Minecraft proportions, but you can definitely see that it's turned around a lot, and now it's actually seen pretty positively. And I think Fallout 76, I was in the same vein where I was like, okay, I know it has issues now, but I think over time they're going to build on it and it's going to be really good. And I got lucky because if this was EA, they would have dropped it like it was hot. The same they did with Andromeda and the same they did with Anthem. If this, so EA has now jaded me to that mentality, but thanks a lot. But yeah, I think they did a good job with it. And I should jump back in sometime and see
how much. Maybe I'll try it in a few years, I think. But it's already 45, so let's jump onto the game you chose. Because we just talked about the games that lads we didn't show up talk.
That's right.
We're supposed to talk about. So basically, we just ad lib for 15 minutes without knowing much. But let's talk about what we know.
Okay. Actually, I know very little about this game. But no, but that's not to say. That's just because of what they've released so far. So basically, I have chosen Zenless Zone Zero, which for some reason I keep calling it Zen Zone Zenless. But that's my mistake. I don't know why I keep doing the name backwards, but that's how I do. But anyway, this is the new game by miHoYo. So this is their follow-up game after what
it's was. It's not miHoYo anymore. It's
miHoYoVerse. Yeah.
miHoYoVerse. Yeah.
miHoYoVerse or whatever. But it's the same company. And this is their game that follows up after Genshin Impact. So obviously the aesthetics are very similar.
Yeah.
This one, though, has more of a sci-fi element to it and a cyberpunk fantasy mixture of things. You have wild characters that are animal. You have robots. You have demons.
You have your lollies, your furies.
Yeah, you have all these weird things. And the thing is, gameplay, they haven't really released too much that I've seen that kind of explains what kind of game it is. I've heard they say it's an action RPG, but then all the trailers that I've seen so far all seem to happen in one arena. So I don't know if there is an open world that you can explore or if it's more of a like a Senran Kagura kind of thing where you're dropped into a level, you fight through a bunch of a semi-muso kind of thing, and then at the end you fight some big boss. That might be a possibility. But because Genshin Impact, it's a solid game. And the fact that it's released for free is amazing that they've done that. And I know it's one of those gacha games, but if you're just the kind of person who wants to go through the story and you don't really care about in-game content, you just really want to play an RPG with the story, you don't need to pay for any of that because they will provide you with all the characters you need. They just don't provide you with all the characters you want. That's how they rope you in with a free game, and then they say there's extra content. And if you want to do the extra content, that's where you need to pay. Yeah, so it's a pretty solid system. I think games as a service, and I think microtransactions can work if you do them. I think League of Legends was probably the ones that got it the most. I think that they did the best with it. And I think with Genshin Impact, I think it's a really good idea. I'm not a fan of gacha just because of the randomness of it. If it was more like, oh, hey, you can buy characters in the same way you could buy characters in, say, League of Legends, then I would be 100% this is perfect. This is exactly what I would want in a game where I can buy the ones I want and I don't have to spend this money and get into this gambling thing. But I'm not quite sure how it's going to work in this game because in Genshin Impact, you have, it's about a team composition, right? And so you're jumping between characters and they're using elements to bounce off each other. In this game, there's definitely teams, but teams seem to be of different sizes. So you have some teams that they have three characters in this group and another team seem to show two people. So there's different groups. And I don't know if you're buying individual characters or if you're going to be buying groups of characters because they seem to play off of each other a bit. I'm not sure how that's going to work. I'm not sure how open the world's going to be or how exploration is going to be. But what we do know is that basically it's a futuristic world. There's some event that goes down and you get these places called the Hollows. And Hollows are these dimensional bubbles. And inside the Hollows, all sorts of things go weird. Some of the people that go into Hollow become corrupted and start to mutate. And you also have monsters that are native to these Hollows. And the government basically goes in and clears them out. But there are also treasure hunters who go in there to look for treasures and whatnot. And that's basically what your characters are these treasure hunters going into these Hollows and trying to, you know, make money off of it, basically. So I don't know if some of the characters are native to the Hollows or if some of them are mutations of people that went in and were corrupted by it. It's not quite clear, but I decided on this one because there were a lot of games that I was interested in, but I have entered into the beta for this game and trying to get in and being able to share these on your socials increases your odds. So I chose this game completely to assist my odds of getting into the game so that I can find out more and then I can tell you more about what it is.
So, that'd be nice.
Yeah, so it does look interesting, and I really want to see if it's going to be more like exploration or if it's going to be more of this game is just about action. So we'll see.
Honestly, I really imagine a same, very similar system to get myself. And when we were talking about Hollows, I was like, wait, didn't they see that in Warhammer when you get into the chaos?
Isn't that the warp?
Yeah, into the warp, yeah. And you mutate inside the warp. And anyway.
Yeah, but these are more like little things. So
exactly, yeah. So it's a good concept. You do whatever you want with it, but the Hoyoverse and this game is what really sponsored the game, the Summer Game Fest.
Oh, did they?
Yeah, sponsored by Hoyoverse, which is why they had such a nice trailer and no gameplay.
Sure, some gameplay, but like I said, the gameplay is just showing combat. So it's like how much of this game is just the combat? Is it, like I said, it could be like a... I can't think of any other games that are like it other than Sunrun Kagura off the top of my head. But in those games...
Do we have a release date?
No, I don't think it does because the beta hasn't even started yet. So what they're doing right now is if you can go to their webpage and you can join their Twitter or follow their Twitter. And then when they tweet something, if you share it, it increases your odds. And then they do little contest things and then they choose people every so often and then announce who they've added to the beta and whatnot. Yeah. So hopefully we can get in, but unfortunately we're not the biggest podcast yet. We'll see.
Soon. Keep listening to us and share.
Yeah.
All right. Then let's finish on the game that I chose. You already put the pictures. There's no... So if you're listening...
Oh, no, wait, hang on. It's a surprise.
Too late. So it's just that there were so many games. I was like, I want to talk about this one. Oh, this one. Oh. And at the end, I chose to talk about Plague Tale 2 Requiem for several reasons. First, because it's made by a French studio, and not only that, by a studio from Bordeaux, which is where I'm from. So woohoo! Little French flag, yeah! And also because the first game, if you never played, is absolutely fantastic. Of course, it happens in the southwest of France around Bordeaux, and you are back in the Dark Ages with the French and the British army fighting it off. It's, of course, very not, how could I say, it's not really clean, of course. And because of this, you may have a couple of rats problem. That's the name of the game, right? You have a big plague. So you are playing with the lady Amicia, which is a teenage girl, and she has to protect her little brother because parents, there was a French knight, father, I believe he died at the very beginning of the game, and her mother will have an important role. She's an alchemist, a self-taught alchemist, because she's trying to heal the little brother of Amicia, Hugo, because he has a very strange, I think, if I recall, like a genetically inherited disease.
Yeah.
You're not sure if it's disease or curse. It's really
weird. It's a genetic trait almost. Mm. It's seen as a curse, but in a way it's also a gift. But he has a certain genetic... thing.
Yeah, exactly. So I don't want to spoil too much because before Requiem, I really encourage you to play Innocence. Was it?
Innocence is really good.
It was excellent. If you just want to know quickly how it plays, it's really an infiltration game, right? You're playing with a young girl. She can't face off knights, right? And in some part of the game, not most part, but some kind, you actually have your little brother hand in hand with you. So there's a lot of, not enigmas, but you have to use your brother to pass some place without alerting the guard. It's a lot of, you have to be sneaky to pass through. The rats are going to play a big game. They have a big game to play in there, of course. And you finish with a good old corrupt Catholic, because flavor of the month. It's a very good game that you need to play. And again, it's available on the game Xbox Live Game Pass. Oh my God, I can't even speak anymore.
Xbox Game Pass.
XCOM, as he said. And
Day One.
Requiem, number two, Day One. Again, for 2022, they didn't say exactly which month, but they say that it will be released in 2022. And the kind of critique, you know, that there was in the first game, it's very dark, very somber, so they use almost always like shades of brown and dark, and it's very little light. In this new game, we are changing region. We are still in France, but we are going to the south of France, more like, say, Marseille, if you can picture it in your head. So if you look at the trailer, there's way more sun and the blue skies, which is weird. You wouldn't have this in the first game. But there's still rats. Lots of them. So just from the trailer with a bit of gameplay, but it's going to stay with the same gameplay as the first one, of course. But we continue the story of Amicia and Hugo, and I just can't wait to play it because it's going to be a bomb. Absolutely fantastic. I can already tell you. That's going to be nice. So I recommend this game. I recommend to play the first one just before Requiem, just so the story is fresh in your mind. And you will see, you won't regret it. So that's it for me. We still have 4 minutes. Is there anything you want to talk about this beautiful weekend that we had?
Dude, I have seen several comments online. I would say we could talk about Starfield, but I'm sure we can talk about that when everybody's here and have a whole conversation on it. But yeah, one of the things that was up in the air for a lot of the shows was normally when we have E3 at the end of the trailers, it'll show you where it's coming out. And this time, a lot of times, like the Xbox show, it would just say Game Pass or whatever. And so after the show, a lot of people were like, oh, these games are all these Xbox exclusives. And no, a lot of them weren't. And the same thing with the State of Play, where it's, oh, these are all going to be PlayStation exclusives. And it's, no, they're not. But because it was sponsored by Xbox or because it was sponsored by PlayStation or whatever, they weren't showing when they were coming to other consoles.
True. Yeah, but they would say at the beginning premiere, and they would say if it's console exclusive or not.
Yeah, that was one thing that showed up on the Xbox quite a bit, where it says like launch console exclusive, and it's, what does that mean? But yeah, so Plague Tale is coming to PlayStation, which makes me happy, because that was one thing that that's the one thing that I really hate is when you have a franchise that's not exclusive and then it goes exclusive. And this one is not doing that, and that makes me very happy. I'm super excited about that Plague Tale will be playable on PlayStation. So
if you guys didn't watch this whole weekend, I really recommend the Xbox One, especially. They announced the sequel of Horizon, if you like car games. They announced Necromancer in Diablo 4. They had a bit of gameplay on this one. They showed a lot. Originally, I wanted to talk about an RTS, which was in summer. Say it for me, please.
Summer Game Fest?
Thank you. It was a very cool RTS made. Stormgate. I wanted to talk about Stormgate, which was in Stormgate Fest and made by the guy who made StarCraft. So there's no StarCraft 3. But there's Stormgate coming soon, which is an RTS, no gameplay yet. They were just introducing the two first races, which were humans. They looked like a spacefaring civilization at this point. She was looking for some strange artifacts.
Yeah, she had robots with her.
Yeah, she had a robot with her. And I think the Titanfall kind of robot, the one that you can get inside.
Yeah,
she was a scientist, and and she had a friend helping her in a robot. And in front of her were demons. So you will have demons, you will have a fairly advanced human civilization. We'll see what's next. But RTS, man! I didn't have a good RTS since like a Command & Conquer.
Yeah, they've fallen out of favor in recent times, unfortunately.
And like it's always StarCraft. And like in esports, it's StarCraft, it's Craft. mostly StarCraft, a bit of Warcraft. Yeah, that's it. There's a couple of Command & Conquer, I don't think, made it really in the esport world. In any case, I really want to see a good RTS, because it's like chess. I love them, but I crap at it. But I really love them. Yeah, that's all. There really was a lot of very interesting announcement. Not enough gameplay to my taste. Robert Space Industries didn't announce the official launch of which one? You know, this space simulation we're talking since 2013.
Sid Meier's one?
No, not Sid Meier. The one where you spend millions of dollars buying spaceship. No, not even online. Ah, damn it. Star Citizen!
Oh.
Star Citizen is still were not announced for 2022 or 23.
Nope.
Actually, there was a lot of space games in this weekend. And there was one, I can't remember the name, but which would do a lot of shadow to Squadron 42, a space game. Very nice solo, not multiplayer. Need to get the name for you. I don't have it now. Anyway, there's a lot of space game. Most of them are horror. This one is not. and it's gonna be good. That's all for me. Adam, you have anything to add?
We got a Kojima announcement. I said that in air quotes. That was like the weirdest thing. I mean, it's perfectly Kojima. That's the funny thing is because we had just gotten news on Overdose, and then they had gotten all the Overdose stuff offline. And there were rumors that Kojima was going to be making a game for Xbox and that Overdose might be it. But then when the thing came out, Kojima, they say, okay, we're partnering with Kojima, so let me pass it over to him. And Kojima comes out and he says, hello, I'm Hideo Kojima, and I'm looking forward to working with Xbox. And that's basically it. There's no announcement. There's no game. It's just Kojima saying, I'm looking forward to working with Xbox. And it's, whoa, okay. And so he said he wants to, he's making a game with cloud technology. That's all we know. That's it. That's all we know is it's going to be using cloud technology. But at the same time, it was funny because then after the fact, apparently a lot of PlayStation people got up in arms like, oh, he betrayed us. And so the Kojima Productions came out and they said, no, we're still working with PlayStation 2. We're making Death Stranding 2. We're making other IPs with the PlayStation because they're working with...
We're just grabbing money here and there.
Yeah, so it's just funny because he came out. Yeah, but I just love the fact that his announcement was basically nothing except that I am making a game.
I'm Hideo Kojima, and I work with Microsoft.
Yeah, I'm Hideo Kojima, and I'm making a game. The end. It's with Xbox Cloud. And that's it. And that's all we get. And it's just kind of... And so a lot of people are like, okay, so is this coming out in the next year? Because it wasn't officially announced? So it's just... But I mean, it was perfectly Kojima in the sense that it makes no sense. And it was like, okay, thanks, I guess. But I'm looking forward to seeing what he's planning on doing.
Yeah. And in the same flavor, please just watch the segment of The Rock. I like Dwayne Johnson, but that was ridiculous.
I didn't see that.
The guy. He was there. It was an arc. Yeah, Arc 2 would be released with Vin Diesel on it. Oh, terrible. The nipple texture was fantastic. Anyway, The Rock was there for which game? It was a Summer Game Fest. And basically, you have to say, yeah, I'm The Rock. I'm the best. Drink my Zoa can and go see my Black Adam movie. Oh, and I love video games. Hey! Thank you. And I can't even recall the video game he was here for. I just remember him being in his gym like this with his father. Yeah, hey, you know me as The Rock. You know me as blah, blah, blah. And you will see me in Black Adam. And here, drink Zoa and stay healthy. Okay, fair enough. Thanks, Dwayne.
Yeah, some of
what was that?
So bizarre.
That was weird.
Yeah, and it may not be over yet. Supposedly, there might be another State of Play towards the end of the month, and there are rumors of a Nintendo Direct coming out. Apparently, the official one is in October, but there have been rumors that there's going to be something at the end of the month with Nintendo, so we'll have to wait and see.
Okay. That'd be nice, because Nintendo, of course, wasn't part of these. They just dropped a couple of advertisements in the middle of the show, but I can't even remember which game they advertised, but something you would see on TV, so nothing. Wow, fantastic.
Yep.
And I think with this brings the end of our own show. I hope that you liked it as much as you would enjoy a gaming summer fest show.
Hopefully.
If not, just tell us.
Sorry, we couldn't show you more trailers, but we're trying not to get in trouble here.
Strike. Yeah, I still don't understand. Some YouTubers show trailers all day long and we show one and we get strike. Oh, God. Anyways,
there's a certain controversy going on right now that I won't get into, so.
Yeah, it's okay because we're mainly a podcast show anyway, so you can have it on any podcast platform again. And you can still come and like our YouTube videos, it's fine. We would like to go over 1,000 subscribers at some point, so
that'd be nice.
Oh, that'd be nice. So don't hesitate, don't be shy, and share our podcast and tell us how much you like us.
Yes.
And how much you want to see Cree and Phil and Eric with us so that you don't have these two guys just talking to each other.
Pretty much.
All right. And with this, we wish you a very good day and a very good week.
Bye-bye.
That's all we have time for, folks. Please don't forget to follow, like, subscribe, and share on social media. We are trying to build the best possible community out there. We want to create a home for people just like you. You can find Middle Age Gaming on YouTube, Twitter, Discord, Gmail, and Instagram. Thanks for listening, and don't forget to tune in to Adam and Phil's stream to have a chat with them. See you later!